Whether you're here with us in person or online, I want to make sure that you are all part of this larger calling today. When Christ went to the cross some 2,000 plus years ago, he saw this day, he saw this moment in time when we were all going to be together. So nothing has surprised him, and I'm sure that even on that day, it seems that each year that goes by in my life, I realize just how incredibly awesome it had to have been for him, knowing all the sin and even up to this moment, and he still wanted a cross for us. Is just, to me, it's kind of mind-boggling that he would run the course and do what he was called to do by his heavenly Father. So I'm very, very grateful for what Christ has done on a cross, even in a personal way, but certainly for us as the church. I think it's also fair to share with you that, and I can only speak for myself, is that this past week for me personally has been a week that has just crushed me. Observing all that's going on with the unrest has just seemed to boil over in our nation's capital. I was very sad to see so many first responders that were being injured, and just the hatred and the violence that tended to be portrayed in our nation, and it really saddened me. And the way that I'm wired as a first responder too, and on top of everything that's going on with the COVID situation and loss of loved ones and people that have been getting sick, and it just seems like an endless attack. Our economic stature just seems just to wear me out a little bit. And because of who I know and some of the people that I know in these organizations too, I think what happens inside me is that I tend to dwell up, and I'm like getting myself on guard. I'm like, okay, you know, what if I have to respond to some of this? What if I have to respond within the state? What if I have to do all these things? And what happens sometimes is that I tend, not that I lose faith, but sometimes I just get worn out. And I just want to turn it all off, and I want to do it. But at the same time that I see all this, I realize that none of this has surprised our Lord and Savior. None of this has come as, shall I say, a sudden awakening to him. He didn't get a message in heaven the other day when all this turmoil came up. He didn't get a message in heaven when the COVID hit. He didn't get a message in heaven when all the strife was all around us. But I can tell you that for me personally, it has tend to wore me out. And sometimes even the peers that I am with, they are saying things that even hurt me, where there's a sense of hopelessness even with them. So what can we say as a church at a time like this, when it seems that there's just so much unrest and uncertainty? So I wanted to share with you what had transpired with this week above all that, but I just wanted to set the tempo on that, is that on 2 weeks ago, I set up an appointment to see Pastor Chris on Tuesday. So we met at 1:30, and I just shared my heart on a few things about maybe some short-term goals and where he saw that I could come along and try to help as best as possible with maybe some leadership training, and we kind of battled out how we're going to try to handle that with the COVID and, you know, the online classes, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the meeting, he just shared with me just how it's been hard to make a solid plan. Very hard to make a solid plan. And he's just trusting God to, shall I say, carve out the path that we're supposed to go on, that we need to know where we're being nudged, where we're being led by the Holy Spirit. At same time, I want to share with you, I have rapidly been trying to prepare for two large training programs, one in Delaware and one in Maryland, and I felt extremely pressured. And when I say extremely pressured, my wife will attest to this, that I probably unnerved her for about 48 hours as I was trying to get everything ready for these two classes before this weekend, knowing that we were going to have to travel to Delaware to do one of the classes. Now, for those that know me, when I get like this, I'm trying to plan and put everything together and figure out everything that's going on. I was trying everything I could do to fast forward and make sure I had everything ready to go, unbeknownst to me that I was going to get a phone call at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. So Wednesday night at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, I finished everything that I needed for these classes. And to say there was a lot of work, it was an amazing amount of work. So then I get a phone call on Thursday from Pastor Chris saying, hey, brother, I need you to fill in for me this weekend. And I was like, whoo-wee. I sure am glad that I got everything ready to go, because now here I am standing before you. And then what am I supposed to say? Noli immediately spoke to me about an aspect of prayer. A lot of times we have a traditional thing called an altar call, where we ask people at the end of the service if they really feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, they want to join the church, there's an opportunity of prayer. We just pack these steps up here and have an opportunity of prayer. Because of COVID or because of whatever has been transpiring, there's been a little bit of limit today, but it stuck in my mind that when's the last time as a church we've got together and had prayer corporately? So today, one of the things that I'm going to call us to do at the end is that we're going to have an opportunity to pray, but I'm hoping that the words that I'm going to share about in regards to the kingdom and the kingdom that is coming will just emphasize how important it is about the work that we need to seem to do. I seem to be extremely burdened about sharing this with you today, and I just want to make sure that you know that it is my passion and my hope that the Holy Spirit will work jointly in all of our hearts today and unify us regardless of what we're seeing going on right now in our world and in our nation. So before I start, if you'll allow me to pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your love for us and what you continue to do for us. And Lord, I just pray that they don't see me, but they just sense the Holy Spirit tugging on our hearts. Slow us down, Lord. This has been a little bit of a crazy week, and maybe some of us are even thinking about what we have to do tomorrow and work and school, family members, the task before us, Lord. I just pray that you would just allow us to take a really deep breath today and slow down and hear your voice. So I thank you, Father, for those that are here and your extra blessing over those that are tuning in, Father, that they would just turn off any distractions that are there in the house and just particularly zoom in to understand that they are part of the team here at Northwest. So just ask these things in your son's name. Amen. All right. So I want to talk to you about five aspects of what I believe are about the kingdom and the kingdom that will come. Because his will on earth. Peace. That we should be in a position that we have to understand that there are key signs within the kingdom. And we can't let our faith kind of erode away. We need to stay focused on some of those aspects that are of the kingdom so that we can try to bring our aspect where we really feel led by the Holy Spirit in times of prayer, those aspects that we believe that are of heaven down to earth, and then counter those aspects that we feel led to be with the people that we meet on the street every day in our lives. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the pew there. But in Matthew 6, 10, our focus on what I want to talk to you today is this, is that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are those things of heaven? What are those aspects of heaven that we can capture in our own heart and bring down here to earth? What are some of those things, whether it be freedom or healing, joy, justice or peace? And there was probably 15 things that I came up with, but I'm like, there's no way I can go till 2 o'clock. I want to try to keep this as short as possible. So let me start off by sharing a quick story. And as long as Bonnie doesn't laugh, I think we'll be okay, right? But just the other day, my grandson Dietrich spent the night, and he wanted to rent a movie. And so I told him yes, and we rented Paddington 2. Now, Paddington, all y'all know about Paddington, that's the first experience with me, Paddington. So it's a little goober bear, and he was rescued by his aunt, you know, in this Swiftwater scenario or whatever. And I'm sure I'm going to mess this all up, so just bear with me. So, but the key is this little bear, was rescued, and he goes on to this adventurous living, shall we say, in England, adopted by a human family, and however he got there, I don't know. I guess I ought to watch part one. But he was able to see, and so many people, so many good things, and acutely aware of his neighborhood and certainly his family. So in several parts of this movie, Paddington earnestly worked to do whatever he could to go out in the community and kind of like, you know, raise some money to set a goal to see his aunt. While he was out there, it just seems that everybody he had contact with, he always saw the good in them, and he was able to do things. There was even a funny little part where he's on the back of a bicycle, and this guy always comes out every morning. Apparently, he forgets his key to his car, and he just, you know, mentions something to him in the simplest phrase about don't forget the keys to your car. And he goes down into the town. He even is falsely accused of theft, gets thrown in prison, and while he's in there, as rowdy as some of those people are and as roughneck as they are, the simplest thing of a marmalade sandwich that he gives somebody, and he literally converts the whole prison to marmalade. I know this is a ridiculous thing that I'm sharing with you, but just bear with me if you'd be so kind. Isn't it amazing that in the simplest things in life, this little bear had a pretty good grip on how important it was to look for the good in people. And even though he was a little bear and he didn't really have a lot of other capabilities, it just seems that wherever he went in his community and wherever he was in his family, he would attempt to do stuff. He also did things for other people, and that there was a sense of disastrous failure. Tried to wash windows and fell down. Tried to do something and dropped a bucket, tried to do something and smash some flowers, tried to do something and just always seemed to get it, but he just never quit. He, in my mind, there was times that it seemed like his focus was that if he could just collect this gift or this money and go see his aunt, that his life would be so much better if he could just get back to this, shall we say, this beautiful garden or this forest to where he was. And you know, when I got done watching the movie, even though there was two people in my house that were crying at the end of it, and I just told them to suck it up, buttercup, is that I was sitting there and I got to think about it. I said, you know what? There is an aspect of this that really struck me, all right, that this person was rescued. Bob Murray was rescued by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that I should be thinking about those beautiful things in the gardens and being back with my Savior. So wherever I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, even if it seems minor, reminding somebody about their keys or being in a community and trying to do good, even though I fall and fail and smash flower pots and get things messed up, and even if I am in prison, I need to look for the good in other people. I need to spread that joy that I have and not get discouraged, regardless of how severe it may be, and even if it's just in the simplest things in life, they can have a profound impact on one person that tends to ripple into so many other people's lives. So I know it's silly, but you got to understand me. It's got to be simple so I can remember things. So Paddington, even though it is a Disney character and a fictitious character that's made up or whatever, there's some real world lessons that can come from that, because I really believe that it is important for us to remember that all the actions that we take, no matter how simple, if we allow God to use them, they can have a profound impact on the future. So in Matthew chapter 6, God's word says that our kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. on earth as it is in heaven should be a solid reminder for every believer here today that the things we need to do should replicate our goal or our vision of what heaven is going to be like. Let me just say that one more time, please. Every believer here today, we should understand that the things that we do should replicate our goal or our vision of what heaven is going to be like. We should do everything we can to bring that hope or that peace of heaven down to earth, even though we know that the earth that we see, the earth that we know that we touch, will be changed, brand new, restored, and without blemish. So it is critical for us, in my opinion, that we understand that. That we understand the aspects of this calling of what we can do every day. So I wanted to start off in particular by just sharing with you five key items in regards to the church today and what we can do in regards to the heaven today. So the first one that I want to share with you is freedom. Proclaiming liberty, the liberty that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the understanding of truth about God, the truth about the future. Proceed. It is critical for us to understand that if we truly are a believer called by Christ, have made a profession of faith, that we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, there is tremendous truth and liberty in that compared to what the world tends to offer. We need to understand that sin enslaves us, and sin can only be released by that truth, by that liberty that we have in Christ, because Christ is the one that sets us free. The believer in Jesus is released from those strongholds of sins, or at least there's a constant capability for us to go back and repent of that and immediately receive forgiveness for that. So just like Paddington, when he's running around in the neighborhood sharing things, I think it's important for us to capture the aspect of is that if we truly are believers, and then we understand that God's will be done as in heaven as He wants on earth, then one of the things that we really should be encouraging others is the aspect of freedom. And that freedom comes from Christ, who sets us free from our sins. Now, I know the majority of you sitting here said, hey, I got that, Bob. I understand that. Well, do you? I mean, does Bob really have that? That I have to understand that when I'm talking about people that are in bondage, that don't know Christ, that I just want to do whatever I can to make sure I share with them, that bondage will hold them. It will not give them true freedom and true liberty. Because in heaven, with the concept of freedom and liberty, I don't know whether we can really appreciate it. It's just going to be overwhelming and an amazing capability for us while we are present with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. So we need to consider that in everything that we're doing as just one aspect of that, and that's freedom. Also, that we have to understand that if we are on the hunt, and I'm just going to use this as a group, so I'll use a simple example. When I'm at the firehouse, and I know that some of my guys are really not believers, my freedom that I'm aware of, that I have on heaven, that while I'm here on earth, it is critical for me that I do everything I can to share that freedom that I have, which is somewhat completely opposite of what my peers may be going through. I'm sure there was people that felt that they were doing things this week, this past week, this past year, and in this century that they did for the call of freedom. But was it really for the call of heavenly freedom, or was it the flesh that drove them in that direction? Some of our forefathers that came here talked about the aspects of liberty, that capability for us to have religious freedom, shall we say. We can't lose focus of the fact that we have a job to do when we're here. And one of the things that we can do is consider those attributes of heaven, the freedom that we're going to have in heaven. So when I'm at the station and we're just having an opportunity to talk about liberty and freedom and being without restrictions, and I mean with that, in love and, you know, in respect, is that one of the things that I can share with them is that I can't imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. The freedom that I have, the liberty that I will have. So that is one area in our lives during this critical time that I believe that we can work together. The other one is the aspect of healing. And if you'll turn to Psalm 147, verse 3. And while you're flipping over to that, I want to turn on my note for that. The aspect of being able to bind up the brokenhearted, healing the sick. You know, our Lord and Savior was one that performed a tremendous amount of miracles while he was here on the earth. But you know, he never, shall I say, had a priority only to heal the physical body. Our Lord and Savior was acutely aware of the suffering of the mind and the suffering of the spirit. This past week again reminded me of just the suffering of the spirit. Not from what I saw at our nation's capital, but I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people out here right now that are just worn out and suffering significantly. Mentally, they're suffering. Internally, they're suffering in their spirit. So Bob, as a Christian, has to remember, it's like, man, if I really understand what God is trying to convey to me, that in heaven and earth and those things that I know that I will have, where I will be in heaven, there'll be no more suffering, no more stress, no more mental anguish, how much more passionate should I be about sharing that to someone who is really suffering currently in my pier, at the coffee table, in the vehicle with me, at my workplace, at school, wherever I may be, that I can share that. It is a great opportunity for that door to be open. Because in Psalm 147:3, the scriptures teach us that he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. The Psalms even talks about what our Lord and Savior will do for us. So other than the aspect of just freedom, there's also the aspect of me being able to convey the aspect of healing. And some of it can be the simplicity of praying for someone. It could be the simplicity of me having compassion to truly shut my mouth and listen to what they have to say. It may even be a level of what they do say that I write it down and I make a point that I'm going to do what I can to remind myself to pray about those needs. Or even if someone conveys something to me that's going on and then I see them 1 week or 2 weeks or a month later and I immediately recall that and ask them, how is this situation going? Not to be critical, not to point at them that this situation they're running through is because of these things that are going on in their lives. Not to do this to say, well, you should have washed your hands more, you should have wore your mask or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It has to have an aspect that if I am thinking about of what would transpire in heaven, then while I'm here on earth, then I need to have compassion in regards to that aspect where I'm truly listening to what's going on. I have a buddy of mine that's may go through a very nasty divorce. And here lately, because he knows me, shall we say, you know, I'm that religious guy or whatever you want to call him. He's just a knucklehead. But the bottom line is that he had some pretty deep conversations. And as soon as he started talking to me, and I've already asked him to forgive me, I know some of his history. Does that make any sense? Like when he told me his marriage is on the rocks, you know what I almost said? You would never do this. Never. I understand. I almost said that. You know, when he said, hey, this is going on, I'm like, yep. Man, that killed it. Killed it. I was like, brother, I'm so sorry. What's going on? How can I help? I've been beating on him to come and have bring his wife and have dinner with Noy and I. I let her cook, and you know, but you see what I mean? And I'm not saying that to say, you know, me and all that, but even me, I'm standing here telling you how careful I have to do that, and I almost messed it up. I got to be careful because I got to remember about heaven, because in heaven, all that, my God really does care about him and his wife in regards to the mental and the spiritual suffering they're going through, other than what is going to transpire physically as time goes on. So I'm still working on him and on that situation. And after the day, I'll really be very careful what I say. But the reason that I share that is, that's just in the simplest form that's going on. It is important for us that we remember that. The Psalms also talks about, and I thought it was very interesting, if you would just cue in to the last three words on that, or four words, and bandages their wounds. It is possible that in the aspect of healing, right, that it's not a healing that just all the scars and everything's just over with instantaneously. Bob's perception. So I have to understand that if I get stitches and I cut myself, and an aspect of the healing that transpires is that our Lord and Savior tends to bandage those wounds. I still may be reminded of those scars. I still may be reminded of what transpired, shall I say, as it's healing, even though my Lord and Savior has healed me, or he's given me that attribute about that compassion for that. But I thought it was very interesting that it doesn't just disappear in some ways. Some people have had miraculous healing. It's all gone. But I want to make sure that we understand that sometimes as Christians, when we're trying to help our brothers and sisters in regards to healing, that we may literally look for these absolute miracles, that it's all gone, that nothing's there anymore, where I constantly remind myself that maybe it's just an opportunity for us, that as the healing's transpired, that we're the person there to apply that bandage, that we're that person there to help part of that wound in regards to its healing. And I know that aspect of it looks like it's in a physical sense, but I think you can understand some of the pain for someone that may be going through something in regards to what has transpired in their heart, in their spirit, in their mind, that it's an opportunity for us to come alongside of them and help them in the healing process. Joy. I want to share something with you, is that before we talk about the Christian aspect of joy in regards to the aspect of heaven and what can transpire here on earth, I want to share this with you. Joy can be on both sides of the fence. Those who are believers and those who are not believers. It is not the same joy as the wicked when they have triumph over the righteous. Our joy should come from a spirit of God. And the joy looks beyond the present and constantly to the future. So we have to be very, very careful, because there are times, a great example would be yesterday, this football game, right, is that I'm sure there's a lot of joyful people out there somewhere, right? Certainly not in the city of Baltimore, right? But they have joy because they felt that they've been triumphant over this football team. I'm sure politically there's people that felt that they did the right thing and they have great joy. They felt they've done the right thing. I'm sure even within our own church, we have been guilty of feeling this sense of triumph because of what we've built or what we've succeeded in or things of that nature. We have to be careful to understand that our joy needs to come from God's Spirit. And that should be the joy that looks beyond what is transpiring currently in our society and in our home and in our workplace, and constantly be looking towards the future. I want to pause there for just a moment and just share a couple things with you. I told you this morning when I started that for me this has been a rough week. And I think it's just thinking about everything that's going on in our world and stuff like that. I want to make sure that you know, for 3 to 5 days, if I did a 24-hour clock, I only had maybe 2 or 3 hours of joy in each one of those days. So even for me, trying to encourage you about the perception and the concept that we have of heaven through the Holy Spirit, that when I get down or when these things are coming on, even Bob has to tend to constantly focus on the future. I'm not talking about the future of going to the beach. I'm not talking about the future of having a nice lunch today. I'm talking about the future that we have on this side of the cross from our belief and acceptance in our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We constantly need to be thinking about the future, not to shun anything away that's going on, not to kind of hide in a cocoon, shall we say, where we're not going to try to help people or be part of people's lives or be in the community. But I constantly have to remind myself, I can only speak for me, about the future of what is to transpire, so that when I'm in those situations where I find that it's stressful, when I'm in those situations where I just kind of what else, right? That I can capture that moment and realize what Christ has done for me. Now, just be still for a minute and just slow down. Am I the only one that feels like that some days? I mean, has it not been somewhat brutal a little bit? When's the last time that we kind of shared that with one another? You know, hey, it's been kind of crazy, you know? Because I believe that one of the things that has been transpiring on our perception of the kingdom and the future and things like that is that because of what we're required to do now with all these different restrictions upon us, whatever, if we are not careful, my brothers and sisters, I really believe that Satan will have a field day with us where he's going to start to make us feel even more encapsulated, more closed in, shall we say, more that we don't have one another. And I teased earlier about I miss the hugs and you know, the hanging out with you. You know what? Maybe it really has had an effect on me. Maybe it's had an effect on you. Maybe it's had an effect on us in the church. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to go and hug each other and everybody gets sick. That just bear with me for a minute. But we need to know that. But I know in heaven, no mass. No hand sanitizer? I'm not real sure about that, but you know, none of that. No restrictions, right? Bob Engelman and I can stand in a lobby without a mask, and we'll talk about all these trees we're going to trim and, you know, all these things that we're going to do. Stephanie doesn't have to worry about the houses that she goes to and the threat on the kids that she has to deal with. It. We won't have to worry about where their paycheck's coming from. We're not going to have to worry about all these kind of things. We're not going to have to worry about all the politics and all the disease and all the heartache. That's all going to be gone. I want to encourage you today, my brothers and sisters, that face the fact, if it is you, that it has worn you out. And that's okay. And just, God forgive me. Don't let me lose sight of the future. Don't let me ruin the things that I have dreamt about in heaven, in my mind, whether that's right or not, and how I can share that with other people during all this, good or bad, however you want to capture that moment. It is critical, critical for us to do that, because we still are in the battle. We are still in the journey, shall we say. And if we as a church are not sharing that to one another, when you're coming in here to encourage one another, I really want you to seriously think about that. When's the last time you came in here and really encouraged someone? And I know it's hard, okay? You know, you're in a hurry and all this kind of stuff. I'd rather you be a couple minutes late, all right? You come in here and where I can say to, you know, Miss Hamilton, like, how's your daughter? How's things going on? You know, whatever. I'm sure it's been tough, you know, everything that's going. Hey, Bob, you know, how you doing? You know, the things like that. Because we need to understand that the only way that we're going to hit some of these benchmarks as a church and be able to re-energize ourselves and get out in the community and share what we, this aspect of heaven that we understand that is written in the scriptures from Matthew, is that we need to work collectively to encourage one another to go about those tasks. And I'm sorry, because I kind of like, you know, you're with me? Like, it's great to hear all this and all this kind of stuff, but I'm wondering if anything's sinking in. I really do. I wonder if it's sinking in. Because they'll say, oh, it's great, now go and come back, you know, for another 45 minutes or whatever. No, like, we need to do this. And the door, to me, is wide open right now. I told you my mission field's a firehouse, other than my family, right? But I believe it really is the firehouse. It's easy to talk about this stuff, because when they say something about what they see, I just talk about freedom. You guys, I can tell you, I'll share you some really good stuff about freedom, fellas, you know? And they say, oh, Bob, that's because you believe in God. And I'm like, yep. Yep. All right? It's written. All right? When I get to heaven, I don't have to wear, I'm not going to wear a face mask when I go to heaven. That's not in the scriptures anyway, but it's somewhere in there. Amy will find it for me, okay? You with me? My brothers and sisters, it is very, very important that we understand that. So we have to be careful that our joy is not the flesh joy, but the joy is coming from the Spirit, and that only can help us to look towards the future. I want to give you this one more thing, because I want to stay on track, and I'm not even going to look over here because my wife's going to give me the evil eye. Okay? How many of us have a somewhat of a budget? You're all going to have to participate now. You write it down. You have maybe a will. You have some simple goals. A grocery list. I'll start real easy. Grocery list. Got a grocery list? Amazon. Help me out. You know, list. How about a list for school? All this kind of stuff. You do? Great. Where's your list for the future in heaven? Oh, you don't have a list? Got a grocery list? Got a budget? Got a will? You know what we need to do? We need to write a heaven list. When you leave, go home. In heaven, no mass. Golden streets. I'm going to pet a lion. I'm going to attempt to walk near a snake. I don't like snakes, by the way. I'm going to start making a list of stuff that's going to transpire when I get to heaven. No more mental suffering. And for a lot of you, it'd be like, amen for me. No more physical suffering, all right? I'm going to start making a list. Because I find that every day I check my budget, and every other day I'm checking the bank account for the business to make sure this check clears, but I can't remember the last time I pulled my heaven list up to remind me, to encourage me, that it's my responsibility to take that list of things that I know that God has promised me and start sharing that with the people around me. We're disciples of Christ. So why not make a list? You don't have to go crazy with this. I know somebody's probably going to write a 500-page article. You need to chill out a minute. How about a post-it note and just stick it up on the fridge? Golden streets, see my mom, you know, whatever you want to put up there. I'm more curious about what we're going to eat, but you know, I'll let that be for right now. But you with me? I mean, I tease about this, but I just want to try to keep it in the simplest format possible. So maybe when we're listening to Pastor Chris, thank God, who's just an amazing man when he's preaching. I feel like I'm the only one in church when he's talking sometimes, all right? But maybe we just don't take anything that is said here at the pulpit and try to put it into a practical aspect of our lives every day. And that's why Bob's worn out. Maybe that's why Bob just almost forgets that he was in church on Sunday. I know that you seem ridiculous, but I'll just confess that. I'm like, ugh. You know, like, when's this all going to be over? When's life going to change? So my joy needs to be focused not on the stuff that's going on right now. I should start checking my list as often as I check all my other lists for groceries and the budget and the will and school. I'm sorry. Justice. Psalm 82:3. We should provide justice for the needy and the fatherless, uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Psalms 82:3. Oh, slow me down. Provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. My dear brothers and sisters, you want to share something about heaven? To me, this is like right in my face. We need to do justice. We need to set things right. We need to do things that are honorable in our relations with our family, our home, our community, our work, and this church. We need to set things right. It can be as simple as us being in some conversation and you know that somebody's going to ask you something that's going to go against your belief in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to take a stand and do what's right. You can do it with grace, but you don't have to just agree so that you can get out of the conversation. We need to do things that are honorable, things that are of higher calling, honorable in our relations. Stop lying. Stop cheating one another. Oh, Bob, I don't lie. Would you please give me a break? Right? There are times that we lie. We don't even know we're lying because we're just trying to say, well, you know, I'm just going to answer it this way and then I can just kind of skirt out of the situation. No, my brothers and sisters, we need to do things that are honorable. Not in an attitude that's going to give us joy like the wicked experience, but joy that comes from the Holy Spirit saying, you know, I love you, brother, but I don't agree with you. I really believe there is a God. I really believe that there is a heaven. I'm just using that as a simple example. Honorable in the things within our relationship and in our family. Even within our own family. I'm working with this guy, and he was telling me just how crazy it is over the Christmas holidays with his family, and they don't even communicate with them. They don't even go over there anymore. I said, my dear brother, for nothing else, at least make sure you call them. At least extend, you know, that, you know, we would love to see you. You know, and I say you have to go over there and just, you know, you may have to change your attitude a little bit towards that. It is important that we do that. We need to do the same thing, things that are honorable in our community. And I'm not talking about walking down the street and picking up a piece of trash on there, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in our community that are looking for somebody to do something right. They're looking for someone to take a stand in a crowd. Well, no one else wants to help. No one else wants to do anything. That you take a stand. You know why? Because that's the way it is in heaven. When you're standing before our mighty God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there will not be dishonorable things. There won't be any lying. There won't be that everybody's going to be in a position where they're going to want to do what is right, not because of the flesh, but because they know that's the character of God. That's the character of heaven, to do what is right. All of us, if not now or in the future or even tomorrow, will be put into a situation where you're going to be tested in regards to your honor. I challenge you, stand the test. You do whatever you have to do what's right, even if it costs you your job, even if it costs you your status, even if it costs you this, you know, whatever grief there is with that, you stay and you do what is right. The reason being is that we understand the aspects of justice in heaven. And even within our church, my brothers and sisters, we need to put aside our opinions, our different aspects that we may bring in, how we think things may be or shouldn't be doing, and we should be doing things that are honorable even within our own family here at the church, and look past whatever our opinions of what might be. It is critical that we do these things because it is important for us to hold up the rights of the oppressed and those that are destitute. All of us have a story. All of us understand what's going on, even the simplest things of those around us. Be acutely aware of this when you're in the community, for those that you know that are hurting and suffering. Be acutely aware of what you can do to set things right, to do the right thing, to bring honor to those that are around you, because you may be surprised at the impact that you're having. Be acutely aware of that because you know your place in heaven. Justice. And the last one that I want to talk to you today is about peace. Our trust is in God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He opens constant reconciliation directly with God. No obstructions whatsoever. Our peace should be a direct result of our faith, and that we have to understand that our peace is God-given. Any other peace is a false peace. Any other peace is a false peace. I've shared with you more than once, I never thought I'd be called to this podium so much in the past 90 days or whatever, but one of my favorite places is down in Delaware. There's a pier, sticks out over Rehoboth Bay. I try to get there early in the morning before the sun rises, and I just sit there. I know. Bob actually sits still for 20 minutes. Yes. All right. It is an amazing experience. All right. I am at peace. But if I'm not careful, I have to understand that peace is not God-given. I could miss it. I could say, man, I'm a really good fisherman, and really, I really like this, when I really need to say, thank you, Lord, for the amazing artist that you are when you pop that sun up. Thank you, Lord, for whatever that bird is that keeps flying past me that's in the way. Right? Thank you, Lord, for the little bug that's crawling on my arm because I don't want to get distracted on what's going on. Thank you, Lord, for the man who made coffee, the coffee bean. Right? I know it's ridiculous. Right? But there's a level that if I'm not careful, I could be there and be all about myself. Well, thank you, Lord, that I bought this place, and thank you, Lord, that I'm doing all this stuff. I better be careful in what's going on. But that is just a little thing that I share with you, but we need to understand that it is God-given, which means that when Bob was struggling last week, because I started to not focus on the things that are to come, all right, it was almost impossible for me to have peace. God was trying to probably push peace through his Holy Spirit to me, and I just wouldn't let it come through. I just kept digging in. Well, let me figure this out. I got this. I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm going to do this. I'm going to isolate myself. No. What I need to realize is that if I'm going to have true peace, then I have to understand that's going to be God-given, and that can only come in my trust for Christ. And the ability for me to break down that wall of sin that I have with him and go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I know you love me. As I put this out to you, because I don't want it to be an obstacle for the real peace that's coming inside. In John 14:27, a familiar verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. So Bob, last week, needs to remember John 14:27. Bob needs to understand that I'm not going to have any peace about all the things that's going on until I understand that I got to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that peace up in me, if that makes any sense, for me to truly have that peace. It's very, very important that we do these things. So I talked about a lot of stuff. I probably talked about some stuff that, is what it is. The aspect of freedom, the aspect of healing, the aspect of joy, the aspect of justice, the aspect of peace. There was many more that we could have done, like deliverance and comfort and hope. The list goes on and on, but I really believe today that it is critical for us to understand that the things that we need to do is we need to consider about heaven and how important it is that that aspects of heaven that we know that we're being led by the Holy Spirit for that day, that season in our lives, that we're bringing a piece of that heaven down on earth. I cannot bring a gold street down. I cannot bring peace within the animal kingdom. You know, I can't bring that. But there are key things that I can bring, and that is freedom and sharing with people the freedom that they have in Christ as their Lord and Savior. In the aspect of healing, that even though I am concerned about their physical healing, I need to be acutely aware about the mental and spiritual battle that they're going through. I need to express joy, not that the world knows where the wicked overcome and have triumph, but I need to have that joy that's inside of me that is God-given. And the same with the aspect of peace, that I need to understand that it's coming from the Holy Spirit. And it is important for me that I have that peace, knowing where the future is, knowing what the future holds for each one of us. So my brothers and sisters, as in the simplest form possible today, I want to make sure that you understand that we have a huge task ahead of us. If we are truly disciples of Christ, if we are truly called as children of God, it is important that we need to understand that all of us, run through situations that tend to put us through like a peak and a valley in our spiritual walk. All of us have had some remnant, or shall we say, a little bit of battle scar from all that we've had to deal with in our lives, regardless of the COVID, regardless of what we see going on in our nation. But all of us, it tends to stick on us like a sticky note. And sometimes it's hard for us to shake it off. The only way that we're going to be able to shake that off, other than constantly asking our Lord and Savior to help us through that, is that we have to help one another. So if you come here and you're worn out, I wish you would say that. If you come here and you're full of joy, I wish you would say that. Because maybe if nothing else, we could just marry up those that are having a bad day and those that are way up, and if for nothing else, at least look each other in the eye to encourage one another about one thing, the future. The future that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So even as a dumb fireman standing before you, I need to understand that we need each other. It is critical that we communicate. It is critical that we work together as a team, as disciples.